good news this morning. The tomb is still empty. God stepped into human history, became flesh, lived a flawless, sinless life, went to a cross, died as an atoning sacrifice like the Lamb of God, and was buried, and he rose again on the third day. And that is good news. We have good things to think about, to sing about, to plan our lives around. If you're a guest here this morning, we are so glad you're here with us. We hope that our time together will be refreshing and edifying for you, and will build you up and encourage you. This is a time of year which is joyful. People think about the birth of Christ. My sermon really is not going to be about the birth of Christ, although I want to make a quick mention of the fact that God stepped into human history, into this tired old world of sin, at a time when people had lost hope. They wondered if there was any way for mankind to be helped and blessed out of the fix it was in, the fix of sin, human philosophy, all of the attempts to correct things seemed to have failed. And God, at the right time, at the right place, stepped in. And we rejoice that he did that very thing. The title of the lesson this morning is, We Were Hoping. And I've taken that from a statement in Luke 24. And I'd like for you to open to Luke chapter 24 and read along with me as we look at this. Now, last week, I spoke about Christ upon the cross and the two thieves that were there. And since that time, of course, in the course of events from Luke, Jesus died upon that cross. He was taken down. He was buried in a tomb, and the large stone was rolled over the mouth of that tomb. And he was raised from the dead on the third day. And sometime later, he is, of course, appearing at various times and places to disciples and others. And this very interesting and compelling story that's called The Road to Emmaus. And see what happens here. Behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things which had taken place. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them, but their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. And he said to them, What are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you were walking? And they stood still, looking sad. One of them, named Cleopas, answered and said to him, Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which have happened here in these days? And he said to them, What things? And they said to him, The things about Jesus the Nazarene, who was a mighty prophet in deed and word in the sight of God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to the sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping, notice, we were hoping, that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, it is the third day since these things happened. But also some women among us amazed us when they were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who had said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just exactly as the women also had said. But him they did not see. And he said to them, O foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? Then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. And they approached the village where they were going, and he acted as though he were going further. And they urged him, saying, Stay with us, for it is getting toward evening, and the day is now nearly over. So he went in to stay with them. When he had reclined at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it, and breaking it, he began giving it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to one another, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us?" And they got up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found gathered together the 11 and those who were with them, saying, "The Lord has really risen and has appeared to Simon." They began to relate their experiences on the road and how he was recognized by them in the breaking of the bread. These three words, "we were hoping," express the heart's craving of all people. Hope, its need, and its value. Many things change in history except for a few constants. People are not robots or the product of evolution. They are social and emotional creatures that can reason. They need love, hope, and something to believe in. That's just another way of saying faith, hope, and love. And today we're going to talk about hope. About hope. If Paul exhorted them to hope, then we need the same today. Hope is not automatically an unchanging factor. Let me read from Paul's words to the church at Ephesus, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling." We need reminders. Don't we need reminders from time to time of faith and hope and love? You can't just hear one lesson or read one Bible verse or hear one sermon and then never have to look at it again. We are creatures needing reminders of these things. Three easy, simple points. You'll see on the bulletin, the pew notes that you might have in your hand. What is hope? What is hope? We must understand it, know its meaning, its definition. It comes from the Greek word elpis, E-L-P-I-S. And it involves trust, it involves or requires reliability, and it involves anticipation. It involves trust, reliability, and anticipation. Hope is the desiring and expecting of certain things to happen. Hope is desire plus expectation. There are some things I desire that I don't expect. So therefore, I don't hope for it. There are some things I expect, but I don't desire. So I don't hope for them. So hope is the desire plus the expectation. Is anybody here hoping for next April 15th?
No.
I mean, we know it's coming, but it's not something we hope for. It's not just part of the whole framework of hope, is it? Because we expect it, but we don't really desire it. There are things we desire that we don't expect. But what we're talking about this morning is about real hope. These men on the road to Emmaus said they were hoping that finally truth and justice and humility would win. They were down. You know, when the Lord rose from the dead and he appeared, it took some convincing of the disciples. At first they were not prone to want to believe, because what they had seen was he had been crucified in the most painful, horrible, humiliating way upon a cross. He had given his life, and they thought, this was our hope, this was our Messiah, this was the one who was going to make everything right. And then they see him die on a cross in such a horrible way. And you can imagine, you can understand why they might say, all hope is gone. And so they're talking about this on the road to Emmaus, and the Lord is there with them, but he prevents them from seeing who he is initially. I don't know how he did that, but somehow they didn't recognize him. He didn't want them to see him at that point. We were hoping that this Jesus would be the one. Parents hope. In fact, parents never give up worrying about their children, do they? I mean, I have five children, They're all, the youngest is 30 years old, the oldest is 41, and I still think about them and hope for them and worry about them and want them to do well. Isn't that true of being a parent? You never stop thinking about that. Engaged people hope. They talk, they become engaged and they look forward to a life together, thinking about all of the enjoyment of their lives together. And of course there will be mountains to climb and disappointments and loss and grief. Nations hope. Churches hope. You know, I seem to remember about 5 years ago a phrase called hope and change. Didn't work out too well. It's kind of been lost in the shuffle in the last 5 years. And our Lord, though, gives real hope. His death had dashed their hope like a boat is beaten against the rocks by waves. They seem to be afraid to hope due to the pain of the loss of Jesus. Now, some knew he had risen from the dead, but others still had not learned of it, as these two had. Terminally ill people hope. Think about that. Even someone who's terminally ill still has some way of looking at life with hope. You know, there are hospital annexes that are called hope. Hope centers. There are hospitals that are called hope. In fact, the phone number at Treechopped in Richmond is 804-346-HOPE, which works out to 34. Wait a minute. Anyway, look on your thing there. It's 346-8043, which works out to the phone number. And so somebody's driving down the road, they see the church phone number and they see 346-HOPE. Isn't that a great message? That's a great message. So, hope, what it is, it's desire plus expectation. What does hope do? It does what thousands of years of philosophy have not done. Philosophy generally robs people of hope. You can read philosophers, you can look at human wisdom, and it might be interesting to a degree, it might stimulate the brain cells, but we're talking about the hope of the gospel, the hope of God stepping into human history and giving us something that man cannot give us. Acts chapter 27, verse 20, when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. You remember that story? It's the story, the great sea story, seafaring journey of Paul on that ship. And they enter a storm where for 2 weeks they don't eat. Imagine. The storm is so bad and they get so worried and so scared and depressed, it says they lost all hope. And of course, ultimately the story ends that everyone on that ship survived by the end of Acts chapter 27. It's one of the most exciting seafaring adventures. I've said before, I would love to have a good movie maker make a movie about Acts chapter 27, be staying faithful to the scriptures. It would really be an interesting story. Europe and America are drowning in existential and nihilistic philosophy, that life is going nowhere, that life has no meaning, and that life is a drag. It's to be endured. There was a writer, a famous writer, he's not so famous now because I can't remember, it was either Henry David Thoreau or Alexander Pope, who said that most men lead lives of quiet desperation. But that's not true for the Christian. For the Christian, our lives are rooted in hope, that we have a desire and an expectation of something that goes beyond and is greater than the disappointments of this life. Hope is looking forward to the future. We must look forward to something. We can't live in a healthy way without some kind of hope. When a person loses all hope, when they feel like there is no escape, nothing will ever get better, and it will be this way forever, that's a very sad point in that person's life. And I'm here to tell you the good news, that with God, there is never a hopeless situation. Never. If you will place your trust in Him, if you will do what He says to do, He can work out your situation, no matter what it is, no matter how bad it is. He can work out your situation because He's God. He just wants people to hope in Him and in His Son. Hope takes away shame. I'm going to read a few verses here. I'm going to read a few verses. And I want you to just listen, because there won't be time to turn to all the verses. I promise you these are all found in Scripture. Hope saved, Romans 8:24. We are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. So one of the aspects of our salvation is that we look forward to and anticipate and desire something to come in Christ. Hope is a fertile ground for joy. Paul said to the Roman church, rejoicing in hope. The good news that we have is that God sent His Son out of love for us, that He might die for us, that He might take on our sin burden and provide, offer salvation, forgiveness, and that was certified by the empty tomb. The empty tomb, the resurrected Christ, is the proof that God will forgive sin. That's good news. I'm here to tell you that God really does forgive sin. It's conditional. It's not unconditional. It's conditional. But He does forgive sin. Isn't that good? He really does. All of the guilt, the bad conscience that you have, the shame, the regret, the things that you've done, that I've done, He washes me clean of those things and builds in me a cleaner conscience over a period of time. He'll wash you clean of your sins through His Son, if you want that. Hope produces endurance. When Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, he said in chapter 1, he spoke about the patience of hope. The book of Hebrews talks about hope a lot. The book of Hebrews is the story of Christians who are undergoing discouragement. It says their knees have gotten weak, their hands are hanging down, they're discouraged, they're disheartened, they've lost hope, and because they've undergone persecution, and they wonder where the Lord is. And the book of Hebrews is written as a word of exhortation, and the word hope comes up in the book a number of times. It is impossible for God to lie, for those who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope before us. Hope makes God near. The law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did. It is something to hold on to, Hebrews 10:23. Hebrews 10:23, let me read from that. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith, hope without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 6, Christ as a son over His own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. You notice the book of Hebrews that is written to encourage Christians not to give up, not to go back to the old ways, is filled with the word of hope to tell them, don't give up, don't throw in the towel, don't raise the white flag, keep on keeping on. Hope is something to hold on to. It motivates to purity. Every man that has this hope in himself purifieth himself. That's 1 John 3, verse 3. Hope makes soul winners. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man for the hope that is in you. What people should see in the world in which we live, in our jobs and our neighbors, they should see in us hope radiating from our lives, and then they say, where did you get this hope from? Tell me something about this hope. And there's an opportunity to talk up Jesus. There's an opportunity to tell somebody else, it's because of Jesus. It's because of the Son of God who died for me and rose from the dead for me. And we just celebrated His death right here. The bread, His body, and the fruit of the vine, His blood, we celebrated, we remembered, we honored what he did for us. On the first day of every week, we do this. On the first day of every week, we remember the Lord's death in the supper. And we need reminders. We need reminders at least every 7 days. If a church has little hope, there's very little evangelism. There is a correlation between the greater the hope, the greater the evangelism. When a church has a lot of hope, guess what? They want others to know about the hope that God offers. So winning souls, being evangelistic, talking to others about Jesus is one of the indicators of hope. And hope protects us in the battle. You remember one of the aspects of the armor of God? Hope is the what? The helmet of salvation. And why did soldiers, why did centurions, why did the Roman foot soldier wear a helmet? Because one of the most vulnerable parts of the body is the head. A fatal blow to the head or a serious blow to the head would knock you senseless and you can't fight anymore. So they wore a helmet. Soldiers today wear helmets to protect the head. And using this illustration, hope is the helmet of salvation. That is, our hope protects us. It gives us protection in the battle that we fight. Hope, where does it come from? The third point. We've talked a moment about what it is. We've talked about what it does. And where does it come from? It's available and it's real. And you today can have real hope from now on. Let's take a look at these men on the road to Emmaus. In going back to verse 13 of chapter 24, behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about these things which had taken place. And while they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them, and their eyes were prevented from recognizing them. They were hoping, they were wanting him to be the answer, and they thought he had been defeated. And in fact, he was raised from the dead. As you look through this in verses 14 to 17, you see that they're sad. They are depressed. They are disheartened over this. And they talk about how he was wonderful. He was a prophet, mighty from God. And they had hoped that he would be the one. And leaders murdered him. Verse 21, we were hoping. And then verse 25. And I want you to notice something here. This is very important. When Jesus talks with them, when he talks with them and he wants them to listen to him, he doesn't try to do some dazzling miracle. He wants them to listen to what the Word of God has to say. This is so important. Take a look at what he says here in verses 25 and following. And he said to them, O foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? Then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them things concerning himself and all the scriptures. Where did he go? He went to the scriptures. If you want your hope built up each day, spend time in God's word every day. Spend time in the word of God. Put aside 15 minutes just to read. Not even to study, just to read. Just read for 15 minutes some section of Scripture. And think about it and meditate upon it. That is more powerful than any movie or any video. The Word of God has an effect upon the brain. I mean, literally, it has an effect upon the brain in a very positive and powerful way. Read the Word of God if you want your hope to be enduring. And then verse 32, I love this verse. He says, they say to one another, were not our hearts burning with us while he was speaking with us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us? What happens when you read the Word of God, when you read about Jesus and you read the scriptures? Does it burn within you? Does it just kind of come alive and make your heart just feel the intensity of the Lord and His will. This is what they say. And I want you to notice that twice the subject of the breaking of bread is mentioned, and it impresses them, and it makes them realize who they had just spoken to. It mentions the Lord's Supper, or the breaking of bread, twice here, something they were familiar with. He took bread and blessed it, and breaking it, he began giving it to them. And then you come down to verse 35. They began to relate their experiences on the road and how he was recognized by them in the breaking of the bread. Now, you can have hope through Jesus Christ. It's desire plus expectation. It does what nothing else can do. And it accomplishes in us what God wants. There are three main qualities that God wants us to have: faith, hope, and love. And today we've spent a few minutes talking about hope. If you want hope, that hope is going to be found in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. If you want forgiveness of your sins so that you can start having a hope, you can be baptized into Christ today. Baptized in water for the remission of sins, as the Bible teaches. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. If you believe in Jesus and you want to have salvation from sin and hope for life, both in this life and the life to come, would you come now while we stand and sing?